what is known as indiscreet rambling, and the reason it's called indiscreet rambling is that it's not intended to mean anything, but just to fill up the area until I'm sure that I'm actually recording. And so now that I know I am, I shall continue where I left off. Alan Turniansky is not here right now. However, tonight I'm going into WPI again, where he and I and Steve are going to do yet another dramatic presentation, something a bit different this time, not from a comic book, something that I hope will win us at least a 6 from Harry, or at least a 5. So Joe Sinnott did Evel Knievel. I stand corrected. And I think that's about all that Harry did. And, except that even though Alan isn't here, he told me yesterday that he would be glad to do the Earth 2 article for you. Now to Mike. Mike mentioned a convention on February 2nd that was called the Valentine's Day Convention. Should have been called the Groundhog Day Convention, but then these things never make any sense. There are two conventions in Boston, but the one I generally go to, since it's difficult to go to both living 20 miles away, is the one on that's given by Don Phelps, because Martin Grime and Al Bradford go to it, and they also have a lot of famous guests. Next June 1st, for example, they're going to have Roy Thomas. And at the last convention, on the 11th or so of May, Barry Smith was there. I wasn't able to talk to him much, but we did talk a bit about Chris Lauder, who he does know, and also he autographed a copy of Conan number 20 for me, but he wouldn't autograph the Marvel Treasury edition. He wouldn't say why, but he said that he didn't autograph that for anybody, and somebody else said that that was because Marvel had had somebody else color the cover after they'd had somebody else do it, after they'd promised him that he could do it. So, I guess he's just one of those devoted artists like Jim Steranko who can't stand anything done to his art. A mercy button. I'm sorry, Mike, but I don't want to sacrifice my copy of Outpost number 8 simply so I can have a Mercy Van Black button. So, still, though, if you'd be willing to contribute one free of charge, I'd be happy to have one. Chess playing? Yes, I play chess. I always lose, but I play chess. But then Isaac Asimov says he always loses, too, so it can't be solely a function of intelligence. I generally play with friends and so on. The only time I played in an organized chess league was when I was in London, and I did join the London Chess League. Well, I joined the chess team at the City University, which was a member of the London Chess League, and I played in 2 tournament games. One in October, where I played third board, and one I was filling in for somebody, and I lost naturally, and one on Guy Fawkes Day, where I played the 10th board and then dashed off to see some fireworks. So, Guy Fawkes Day is the 5th of November, for those of you who don't remember the 5th of November. And in any case, I always lost. But then, so did everybody else at the university, because they were playing against adult players who'd had a lot more experience. So, as I left, they were thinking of getting out of the London Chess League again. So much for my chess playing experience. Lincoln's birthday? That was when the con was. I already talked about that. Glad to know that Harry's broken arm is better. Mike, you promised to write us all once a week? And actually, you haven't even written us once a month. So, but then I know how it is. I have a huge stack of letters to answer now, and since I can't even afford stamps until Friday, most of them will have to go till then. About my Batmanias, I hope you've been taking them to all the conventions and trying to sell them, and I hope you've sold at least a few, but I think, and in any case, the market up here in Boston at the conventions here is pretty fully saturated, so why don't you hold on to the Batmanias and continue trying to sell them, and you can give me the money for them and what's left over when I next come to New York, which should be for the July con. I hope I can come, though, once again, everything's pretty unclear. Yes, Alan Turniansky does go to WPI. The other guy on the tape was his roommate, Steve D'Alessandre. Incidentally, they've been submitting stories that they co-author to some science fiction magazines, but no sales yet. And speaking of fiction, yes, I would like to see the Terbium Trail concluded, and Outside Looking In concluded. Maybe you can do that in Whizdash. I think even if you don't run any more fiction, you should at least finish those two stories. Because if there's anything... Because fan fiction may sometimes look shoddy, but what really is shoddy is fan fiction that starts out as a serial and never gets finished. Matsumoto doing a fiction fanzine? Well, that reminds me, Harry, I wish you'd give me Alan's address so I can try to get some more art from him. As I said, his drawing was the favorite in Batmania, and besides, I'd like to send him a free contributor's copy. And incidentally, I'm not the only one who has an occasional pseudonym, nor are you, Mike. There's a... it turns out that Tom Hegeman and Escobedo Demerari are one and the same person, and I have printed both letters from them, unbeknownst. Al Bradford revealed that to me at the last convention. Your story of Jonathan Swift, well, like the Spin Mad story, it ended before I knew it, but I'm all confused about that anyway. I guess it was supposed to be confusing, and certainly it was better than the article on Jonathan Swift that he would have written otherwise. Those things are always terribly boring, as I know because I just finished a long one on teaching calculus. That's my interactive qualifying project and a requirement for graduation. Capital Man? Who's Capital Man? I forgot all about this. Waiting for Fandom Funnies. We've discussed that. Norelco Guarantee, we've discussed that shoddy thing. The Legion needs another member. So, a lot of us think the Legion's too crowded already, so probably. So maybe it would be a good thing to add Reflecto, Mike. And who will save the princess? Everybody else. It wasn't too bad a story, but it wasn't too good either. It was about on a par with Kerry Bates' average, I'd say. But Jim, your later stories were much better. Especially The Origin of Karate Kid. Even though it did have a certain similarity, I think once again this must have been coincidental because you weren't into comics much. Of course, it's very similar to the origin of Marvel's Master of Kung Fu, but personally I think it was handled a lot better than Marvel's or DC's for that matter. DC's are abysmal Kung Fu books. As for the new uniform, I noticed that Karate Kid first put on that uniform. Well, he did wear it briefly in one other story, I guess, but his old uniform got ripped up in your first story, Jim, and he put on the new one right during the action, and I thought that you would suggest that he put it on. If you didn't, it must have been something Mike Grell did out of his own imagination, because perhaps he preferred the new one. But, well, I suppose something can be worked out there. And, let's see. An RBCC parody in Phantom Funnies number 2. Yes, Jay, I'd be happy to do comic collector comments, only since it'll be a while before you get the tapes, I'll probably tell you in a letter by the time you get this. See, I'm good at copying styles. Thank you very much. I enjoy the compliments. After it's good to know that some people have a rather high opinion of my abilities. The people in Framingham don't. I ran for library trustee once more and lost once again. And blasted, there were 4 offices and 5 candidates running, and one of them was a write-in. Or had been written in on the primary ballot anyway. So how... And they were all Republicans, too, in a Democratic town. What was... So how... What a fiasco that thing was. And it would be nice to do the TBG parody as a tabloid. Just like you did with the Comical Reader. It's a good thing to have. It's extra funny if you... copy the style. I don't think there's any other fanzine that varies its style, its actual format, with the material it's satirizing. A lot of zines change format, like Batmania and so on, but then that's generally an improvement move rather than a parody move. I think you may have introduced something new to parody, Jay. Or, no, I guess not really new. I guess the Harvard Lampoon does it too with its magazine parodies, but I think this is certainly the first fandom parody to try such a thing. Congratulations on your letter from Eric Severide. Even if Harry doesn't care for him, I think that's quite an honor. I know, even though the RBCC review said your layouts were similar to Look and Life. You notice that they aren't around anymore, but then I'm sure it wasn't the fault of the layouts that they aren't. And I hope the Legion Outpost will last a good long time. It probably does have the best layouts in the business, in the fanzine business, that is. Rip-off prices, well. Al Bradford claimed Batmania's new price is a rip-off, too, but I, too, am saddled with an expensive printer, and nobody else, or very few others, have complained about that, so I'm afraid everybody will have to bear with it. Creation Con program. That's something between Harry and Jay, I guess. Harry, I'm glad you've got that job lined up, but I still wish you could get something at National, but I guess any job, but I guess you'd rather be safe than sorry. The same with me. I'd love to work at National, too, but I can't gamble anything on that. Harry Broeftuous? Oh, brother. Well, now we all know how it is to have our names misspelled in letter columns. Mike's Bic pen is not good for lettering. I don't know anything about lettering, so forgive me. As for famous graduates, the only famous graduate I can think of WPI is Robert H. Goddard, the so-called father of modern rocketry, who graduated around 1908. He blew up the top floor of Salisbury once, several rooms there that still haven't been fixed. Sad story about Gary Skinner. Maybe he'll get back into fandom again, though. A lot of people whose names have vanished from the letter columns seem to come back or still be around. Len Rosenberg or Peter Sanderson, who's just come back to the letter columns. so on. And... But really, I don't see what's wrong with having a lot of panels on a page. Ditko did it all the time in strips like The Question, and lately in The Destructor, and Fleischer in that story, which was surprisingly good, even if, as you don't know, it is a rip-off. It is just like Weisinger used to do, as I explained in Batmania. Fleischer's Batman story was taken straight out of an old world's finest, The Murder of Bruce Wayne, which was reprinted in a Giant not long ago. And Jay himself pointed out when he read that reprint that it would make a fine new story with a bit of rewriting, and Fleischer proved it. Yes, Fleischer does have his moments. I can't stand his Spectre, but I do like Jonah Hex and the Grim Ghost, and I did like that Batman story. And it had plenty of panels to a page, and in general, and I don't think that hurt it any. And I, as a matter of fact, I think it would be nice to see Steve Ditko or somebody doing the JLA, or even have a story with different artists, each character in its own chapter, and Swan doing the Superman chapter, Chuar Novik doing the Batman chapter, Grell doing the Green Arrow chapter, and so on. It'd be a welcome change from the Eternal Dylan, who... The only time they ever tried something like that was when they had Deadman guest star, and they had Neil Adams do a few pages in his honor. Never seen Bill Selby's art, so I can't comment on that. The Detroit Con transcript was very interesting, and though I wish you hadn't kept that last tape running through everything. There wasn't really anything on it but that last little tag. And I didn't hear that many of the questions. It's a pity Plop had to feature ads, but apparently Infantino said if it didn't sell and with ads that they were thinking of a new format. Bob Rozacka told me once that when I suggested they make it 35 cents, somebody at the convention did. After all, Spidey Super Stories seems to sell at that price. He said that the reason Spidey Super Stories succeeds is because the electric company funds it, and there isn't any electric company to pay for Plop. So that's out. And, Jay, your tape broke just as you were explaining who David V. Reed is, so please tell us, as I don't think I'll ever get to hear that tape. Even if it gets fixed, it probably won't get fixed for long. And I'll be sure to tell Ellen about Rachel Weisacker next time I see him, which will be today. Maybe he'll have his say on the tapes. I'll bet you can hardly wait. And also, I'm glad you aren't feeling as depressed as you once were now that you have that job. And, Jim, yes, I... No, I didn't see your typo, but of course, now I see what you were referring to when you explained a big mistake in the story, and you said it wasn't the spelling of Lornu Durgo Tain's name with two L's, because since it's an alien name, it can be phonetically translated any way you like, and since she was a sort of a romantic interest of Superman's, in one sense, I think the LL is more fitting. And, let's see. Yes, the cover reprints in Fandom Funnies were definitely the worst thing about it. They should be, but I guess you could hardly afford it. Still, though, I think that somebody might have been able to get more detailed lettering into that. The lettering was pretty bad. I'm glad to hear the True Fan Adventure Theater is back. I told you, haven't I, that I was thinking of some fan characters of my own that maybe I could... Mike Valerio was thinking of a zine imitating that, but that fell over. And now that the original is back, and Decker didn't do all the writing, Tony Isabella and a lot of other people contributed to it, so maybe he'd let me contribute to it with some of my characters. In At least it'll be fun to read. I saw only the Levitz issue, but that was quite good, and I sent for the other one and hope to get it soon. Or mystery guest? Don't worry, Harry. I won't tell anybody else who he is, though presumably by the time they come to this, they'll have heard him already and know who he is. And, yes, those deadlines do sneak up on one. It's only a little more than a month until we do have to start collecting comics for the checklist, so you better get that letter out pretty soon. And what we have here? What color is Brainiac 5's hair? I think it's pretty much somewhere between yellow and white. That's what it's supposed to be anyway. Cockrum changed it from the pure yellow it was originally to a yellowish white, which does look a bit better. And I think it does make him look more exotic looking, a la Kal-El. And that's what Cockrum was trying to do, and I guess I'm willing to accept it. As for whether Chameleon Boy can become a phantom, yes, it has been established in that story, and perhaps the spray could affect him because it did sort of penetrate into the fourth dimension. I mean, shockwaves can affect her, and maybe this was sort of an extra-dimensional spray. After all, if he had been just imitating a phantom, then he could have touched things, even if, and that story established that he couldn't touch things when Supergirl froze him in that form. Bridwell mentioned it in a letter call, and Jim picked it up once before, in the Chameleon Boy Meets Princess Elwynda story. He was locked up and thought, I can't become a phantom and go through the wall because it's, charged with anti-phantom energy. I suppose I just have a good memory, because I didn't have to look that up. Forgive me, modesty isn't one of my best virtues. Oh, by the way, Jay, I'll have to write you about this anyway, but once again, I can't afford it right now, but as soon as I can, I'll send you 85 cents for another copy of Fandom Funnies, because I sent the one you sent me to Greg Chown, a British fan, who did some art for Batmania, by the way, in exchange for some of the stuff that he is sending me. It's like with Martin Locke, sort of. He may have told you about that arrangement. Full-length stories. We do need full-length stories in the Legion. Harry thinks we need them, Jay thinks we need them, Jim thinks we need them. All the fans seem to want them. Everybody wants them except Murray, but unfortunately, he has the deciding vote. 90 names in that letter column. Mercy didn't even notice Andrew Nolan. Well, I guess I can't blame him. After all, Andrew Nolan, alias Pharaoh Lad, died long before Boltonoff ever took over the Legion. Though he printed one from Bryn Londo once, so that's no excuse. But did Boltonoff do that letter column? I thought Jack Harris was doing the letter columns now. And what? And yes, apparently Schwartz does rewrite a lot of dialogue. I can't see why he would do it for the worst. Mike Uslan told me that he wrote a Batman story that seemed to be camped up in some ways. He had had the villain laughed, and it had been changed to read The Sinister Fiend Chuckled. I don't know why Schwartz thinks that this would increase sales one little bit, or do anything for a story. I am joining an app called iSappa, which is run by Gino Membrino, and probably its most famous member is Carl Gafford. It also includes John Pierce and a few other friends of mine, and but I'd like to join Kappa Alpha too, but I had understood that it's harder to get into it than it is to get into Harvard Law School, which did not accept me. So if either of you knows how I can get into Kappa Alpha, I'd be very happy to try. And now I'm down to Jim Shooter's stuff. He mentioned that Cary Bates wrote another issue. Well, I wouldn't know anything about that, but the latest comic reader says that the next issue of the Legion has a backup story by Cary, which I must admit sounds interesting. It's about what happened to the old Rocket Clubhouse, and since the Fatal Five ruined it, I always wondered what happened to it, too. Was it just torn down or made into a museum or what? And yes, Grell does put big things in the foreground. It's an individualistic style, and it is rather good. Wonder if you will... Jim, do you think you ever will do any more layouts for DC or for Marvel the way you used to? I think that might be interesting. I'm sure Grell would... if Grell knew how to do it better, just like Swan did, he'd improve on it. So, the local... And congratulations on the local show band and your various interviews. It's interesting to know you that you do know the people in the Pittsburgh Comic Club. I wondered about that for a while, since I met some of them up at Rutland, and apparently the Pittsburgh Comic Club is quite active, and I wondered if you knew them. But have you just got into contact with them? I sort of had the idea that you were out of contact with just about all comics and fandom and related things until Harry got in touch with you last May. By the way, Captain Marvel is something that died long ago and just has been revived, though I guess it was about 3 years ago, so it's a matter of opinion. And he's going to die again soon, and except for reprints. They're going to keep printing reprints. And on TV, apparently it's Ibis who's going to guest star, and not Iris somebody. I was wondering who Iris could be, because I didn't think, even if the parallel world discrepancy could be covered, that the Flash's wife would run away with him. And comics and advertising. Yes. They really don't... As I said, they seem to be using more and more comics in advertising, because it's an excellent form for it. But then... Still not that many, but certainly in one city, probably enough to support one talented person. And I confess I have no idea what happened to Dave Kraft either. So I guess I'd better sign up now, or sign off now. And until, but brace yourselves for a new dramatic experience. As Alan and Steve and I get together on The Adventures of Mr. Neat.
And now it's time for Mr. Neat, featuring Rich Morrissey, big name man, Alan Turniansky, big name fan hanger on. Rich Morrissey is the announcer. Alan Turniansky, big name fan hanger on, plays Compulsive One. Starring Stephen D'Alessandro, big name fan hanger on roommate, as Mr. Nee, and featuring Randall LaPlante, neophyte math expounder, as Randall LaPlante, neophyte mathematics expounder. And here we go! Don't touch that radio dial or whatever you are using to listen to this. It's time for Chapter 2 of Mr. Neat, Agent of Fussy in The Cafeteria Caper. If you missed our last installment, or have just forgotten what was going on, we'll fill you in on the details. Mr. Neat, Agent of Fussy, the Federal Union to Stop Sloth and Eats, is in Worcester, Massachusetts, investigating the strange occurrences surrounding the food service known as DACA, operating from an engineering college in the area. It seems the DACA is spreading its vile tentacles outwards, and Mr. Neat has been sent to investigate. We join him as he is being tortured in the subterranean chambers of Dock Headquarters. Rattray, you're doing snooping around here? Who sent you? Why are you here?
I have nothing to say.
You will not talk?
No. How about a nice lunch of hamburgers and french fries? Yeah, Dhaka food. Maybe I see your point.
You will not cooperate. Start the treatment! The merciless villains continually feed him Dhaka food until Neat is wallowing in his own vomit. Is this the end? No! For he has something up his sleeve.
No, folks, it's not an arm. I have in my Neat belt special anti-vomit pills. This should turn the tide in my favor.
After swallowing the pills, his vomiting stops, and he ravenously begs for more Dhaka food. What is this? He wants our food? Impossible!
He's gone mad! There's no use what? We will escape and go to our headquarters.
Follow all the evidence! He will never get out alive!
What the villains don't know is Neat has loosened the ropes binding him and escapes just as the building burst into flames.
That was a close one. Better call headquarters and see what's happening there. Mr. Neat calling Compulsive One. Come in, Compulsive One.
This is Compulsive One. What's up, Neat?
Well, Chief, I've broken Adaka's secret headquarters, but the men escaped and destroyed any evidence around. So far, I haven't come up with much.
You better head back to Washington. We'll fill you in on what we know.
Roger, Chief.
I've told you a million times. My name's Throckmorton.